Our first scripture passage for this morning comes from the book of Genesis. Listen for God's holy word. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be an ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding. And I will be their God." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." And our gospel passage comes from the Gospel of Mark. Listen again for God's holy word. "Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and by the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.' He called the crowd and his disciples and said to them, 'If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father with his holy angels.'" People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. I suspect that I am not the only one here who knows that parenthood is oftentimes about suffering in order to achieve a new and a better reality. According to the baby books that Jamie and I read 2 years ago before Margot was born, in order for a child's brain and body to learn to sleep, parents have to give them the opportunity to learn how to fall asleep on their own. At a certain age, babies are capable of falling asleep on their own, but they don't know that. If what they know is being rocked to sleep, gently being sung a lullaby, and then being carefully placed in a crib, that is what they will expect. And that is what they will want. Most of the parenting books that Jamie and I read advised us that at some point, in order to teach Margot that she could put herself to sleep, we would have to set her down awake in a drowsy state and then allow her to learn to soothe herself. The goal was clear. The goal was a child who could put herself to sleep. The goal was a baby who, when she woke up at 12 a.m. or 2 a.m. or at 4 a.m., could put herself back to sleep. The goal was a child who was able to gain a new and a wonderful ability, the ability to fall asleep. The pathway to that new ability, that new wonderful and amazing existence, was a pathway that includes suffering. On Margot's end, it required a few days, even a few weeks, of screaming and tears. As she screamed from her crib, she wondered why Jamie and I weren't rocking her to sleep anymore. She screamed for what she knew. She screamed for a return, for what she had preferred, assuming that it was there. On my end, the pathway to the new and the wonderful existence of a child who could put herself to sleep, it required challenging and emotional pain, real suffering as a parent. Making it through to this new and wonderful reality meant sitting in a room just a few feet away from my beloved child who was screaming out for me, wanting comfort. That was not easy. That was not comfortable. It was hard. As Margot cried, there was something deep inside of me that was telling me, compelling me to go and pick her up, to comfort her, to sing her a song, and to put her back to sleep. And not giving in to that deep, compelling feeling was difficult. It caused suffering. I see parents smiling in the congregation. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that the new and the glorious reality that he was bringing into being, that he would bring into being, it came through a pathway that included suffering. This was and is and remains one of the hardest realities for Christ's followers to understand and to accept and to live out in their own lives. Through his words and his actions, Jesus had made it clear to his first disciples who he was. Jesus was the Messiah, the leader, the Savior that Peter and his friends and his family had been promised by God, the Savior whom they had longed for, the Savior whom they had prayed for. They believed Jesus was the Messiah. They believed in Jesus. And when it became clear to Jesus that his disciples understood who he was, he sought to help them begin to understand the deeper truth of God's plans and God's way for Jesus' final and true victory. Jesus was therefore clear with his disciples that his triumph, his victory, his glory would come through a pathway that included his rejection, his suffering, and his death, even death on a cross. As we know from the story in Mark chapter 8, this was not easy for Peter and the other disciples to accept. Like a child who is used to being rocked and sung lullabies, Peter had come to expect that Jesus' victory and success would come through a different pathway. Peter expected that Jesus' victory would come because of his power, his miracles, his authority, his teachings. Peter rebuked Jesus. I will never get over that. Peter, a fisherman, rebuking the Son of God. Peter rebuked Jesus, but Jesus was not dissuaded. For some strange and challenging reason, Jesus' mission required and requires suffering and his death. For some strange and challenging reason, Peter's calling, the calling of Jesus' followers, the calling of the church, it would require that we too take up a cross in order to follow Christ. Taking up a cross is about being willing to suffer towards a new and a better reality. And this past week, I believe that we have been exposed to an inspiring example of people engaging in a pathway of suffering in order to help bring about a new and a better reality. Preach it, Margot. I believe that many of the students of the Stoneman Douglas High School are modeling for us this Christ-like behavior, modeling for us and for our nation and for our world. Many of the students who survived the shooting at their Florida high school, I believe that they represent a model for what it means to be willing to suffer in order to try and work towards achieving a new and a better reality. These students have a vision for a better world. They have a vision for a world that is safer. And they are willing to suffer. They are willing to experience loss and trouble, to give up some of their comfort, some of their privacy, in order to work towards that new and that better reality. They see a better future. They see a better possibility. They have organized school walkouts to draw attention to their pleas for better gun laws. And I assume that these walkouts come with the risk of disciplinary action from their schools. If not, then they at least come at the expense of these students' classroom time. These students are foregoing their time in the class, time to study, all the time that goes along with seeking the achievement that is needed to get into the right colleges and then eventually get the right jobs. They are setting that aside in order to take bus rides to their state capitol building, to sleep on the floor of community centers, in order to be face to face with their legislators. They are spending their time and their energy peacefully pleading with their lawmakers to make changes that will make their state and our country a safer place for everyone. They're organizing marches. They are organizing marches, and they are showing that they are willing to use their time, their resources, their money, their bodies. They are willing to go through the personal comfort of traveling across the country to stand on the streets of Washington, D.C., to draw attention to the issues that they want addressed, that need to be addressed, in order to bring about the new and the better reality that they see on the horizon. These students are willing to give up their privacy, to give up the possibility of mourning in quiet and living a quiet life. And they are welcoming the suffering that goes along with taking a stand. They are welcoming the suffering that goes along with having strong positions. They are going on television and using social media to voice their views, knowing that doing so, knowing that going on TV and speaking out means giving themselves over to the news commentators and the pundits of our nation. They are speaking out knowing that this national attention will bring with it anger and ridicule and slander and hatred from those who are seeking to keep them from achieving their goals. These students are willing to suffer, to accept the mockery, the slander, the derision, the contempt, in order to work towards that new and that better reality. I believe that these students are modeling for us what Jesus asks of those who would follow him. These students are modeling for us what Jesus said would be required for those who wished to go with him on his path. These students are showing that they are willing to give up their lives, to give up, to lose their lives in order to gain them. Peter was not happy that Jesus' way was a way that passed through suffering. Peter was not happy that Jesus' way was a way that would move from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the agony of Good Friday. Peter and all of us, along with Peter, we would have preferred that Jesus' way was a way that is free of sorrow and pain. We would have preferred that Jesus' way was a way that was free of troubles and trials, of suffering, and free of the cross. Now, we know that Jesus would eventually be free of the cross, as he predicted. As he predicted, Jesus would rise again. He would rise to new and glorious life. But his pathway could not avoid the cross. It could not avoid the suffering. Jesus' way was a way of victory through suffering. Jesus made it clear that the new and the glorious reality he would bring into being, it came through that pathway. Jesus made it clear that those who would follow him, they too were called to deny themselves, to take up their crosses, to be willing to lose their lives in order to gain them, and in order to follow Christ. This was and is and remains one of the hardest realities for those who wish to follow Christ, to accept and to understand. Eventually, Margot did learn what the books we read said she could learn. Eventually, Margot discovered what the books and our friends and family members assured us she was capable of. That though she would prefer us to rock her to sleep, that though she would prefer me to sing her her lullabies, she was capable of putting herself back to sleep. The goal was a wonderful and a new reality, a wonderful and a new existence. The goal was a wonderful and a new reality, but the pathway to that new and that glorious reality, it required suffering. Our God and our Father, he bids us to look ahead to a new and a better reality. God invites us to use our imagination, to use the vision that God has given us through Scripture, to use what we know of Christ and his victory. God invites us to imagine a new and a better reality. And then God also commands us to take up our cross and to follow Christ Jesus on the pathway that leads to that new and that better reality. Thanks be to God. Amen.